And this year we're going to talk about an overview of halachos for women preparing for Pesach. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igros Moshe Aruch Chaim Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun Zayin, where he discusses putting out chametz on Erev Pesach, which will only be collected on Pesach. And the question is one allowed to have chametz in their garbage can on Pesach? It's only going to be picked up the next morning. Is that a problem? So Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva says regarding putting chametz Erev Pesach in your garbage can, which is going to be put outside and will be collected by the garbage company, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's going to be usher. Why is it? And he explains that, of course, you're making it hefker, and of course, a person would never eat it once it's in the garbage. However, once it comes the zman of biur, since you are technically still the owner, there's a chiv on you as the owner of the chametz to do tashbisu. So therefore, yes, you made it hefka, but since no one else was zeicha in it, you still have to destroy it. So therefore, if it's going to be in your garbage can, it's as if it's in your rishus, and therefore you're going to be chayav in biur chametz. And not destroying it would be a bittul mitzvah saseh. So therefore, he says, what you need to do is take the garbage bags and put them out on the actual street, not on your property, but on the street. And in that way, you made it hefker and it left your rishus, and therefore there will no longer be a chiyuv of biur. It's not good to put it out in your garbage can, because since your garbage can itself belongs to you, it's as if the chametz is still in your rishus. So you take the actual bag out of the garbage can, put the garbage bag on the actual street or over the curb, which is not an area which is no longer your private property, and that would be acceptable. On Erev Pesach, it's best to complete all of the preparations early in the day. And the reason is that you shouldn't be stressed out throughout the afternoon and tired when you finally come to sit down at the Seder. Rather, you should be rested and relaxed. Also, try not to stay up late the night before Pesach, because in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of passing on the Messiah of what went on in Mitzrayim, and that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us me'avdos l'cheiros, and how we went to be mekabel the Torah, all this requires a very relaxed parent, two parents that are very relaxed and well rested. And we don't want to have tension. We don't want anyone to be uptight at the Seder. We want the Seder to be geshmak. You should feel the royalty of being B'nai Melachim, of being the Am HaNivchar. And therefore it's important that we all come very rested. Occasionally the first night of Pesach will be on Shabbos, and therefore I'll just run through a couple of halachas. If the first night of Pesach is Shabbos, you cannot grind maror on Shabbos because of Melacha of Teichin. And therefore it has to be grated before Shabbos. The Mishneh Berurah says, based on the minhag of the Vilna Gaon, that you should grate the horseradish before Shabbos and close it in closed jars so that it does not lose its sharpness completely. And you shouldn't open the jar until the actual Seder. Rav Moshe Sternbach and Shuvas Van Hagos, Chelek Beis, Reish Lamed Ches, says that the brisker of Dafka left his mara uncovered after he ground it, and he wasn't worried that it would lose its bitterness. So Rav Moshe Sternbach suggests that perhaps, there's no machlokas, it just depends what you're starting with. That the mar that the Vilna Gaon used had to be kept covered, unless otherwise it wouldn't be bitter. Whereas the mar that the Bisker Rav used, which is very similar to what we have in America, it's extremely bitter. And perhaps you dafka want to leave it uncovered so that it shouldn't have that tremendous sharpness when it comes to the Seder. Another nafkamina, when the Seder would fall out on Friday night, would be the salt water. We cannot prepare the salt water on Shabbos because it's a gezeirah d'rabbanan mishum ibud eiros. So if the first night of Pesach would be Shabbos, the salt water would have to be prepared before Shabbos. However, if one did not prepare it before Shabbos, you could make a very small amount, just a very, very small amount of salt water, just for dipping the karpas. Those who have a minhag to dip an egg in salt water, they can make enough salt water for the karpas and the egg as well. Regarding chareses, that too needs to be prepared before Shabbos, and the reason is because chareses has two malachas involved. One is tchina, and one is lush. Grinding and grating the apples is tchina, and lush would be kneading the whole mixture together with the wine. So if one did not do it before Shabbos, there are ways to do it on Shabbos. The way to get around tochein is to cut up the apples with a knife, not with a grater. Cut them into pieces that are larger than ordinary. Also do it just right before the meal, and only cut as much as you're going to need for that meal. As far as lush, the way to get around it is that you add in the ingredients in the reverse, meaning you put in the wine first as opposed to the normal way, which is to put the wine in last, and you make it actually a very watery mixture. It should not be a thick mixture. And finally, we don't stir the ingredients in the normal manner. Rather, we use crisscross motions with a spoon, let's say, after each stroke, removing it from the mixture. Or you can use a knife and stir it with that, since it's not the normal way to do lisha. If the first night of Pesach is Matzei Shabbos, then there's an issue with eating Shalosh Shittos Shabbos afternoon, because you're going to take away from the geshmak of eating the mitzvah of matzah. In that case, it's preferred to eat Shalosh Shittos earlier in the day, before 3 hours, before three shayis zmaniyos, halachic hours, and then you'll at least be hungry again when it comes to eating the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, every Shabbos we bench lich before shkia, although on yomim tovim, sometimes some women bench when their husband comes home after maariv, because on yom tov you're allowed to make a fire, whereas on Shabbos you can't. Also on Shabbos, most women first light and then make the bracha, whereas on Yom Tov, some women have a minhag to make the bracha first, and of course each person should follow the minhagim that they learned from their mother. Now, in preparing the menu for the Seder, it's important to keep in mind that most Ashkenazim don't eat roasted or grilled meat or chicken during the Seder. Regarding chicken, baked chicken is also called grilled, it's called slikedar. So you have to add liquid to the bottom of the pan so that the fish shouldn't be fully baked, but rather cooked as well. Rav Heineman Shlita from Baltimore would say that if you cover 50% of the depth of the chicken with liquid before baking, that would not be considered roasted and that would be acceptable. Some have a minhag not to eat red meat at all by the Seder, although I did have a Yemenite friends and neighbors who would eat lamb by the Seder. However, the most accepted minhag is not to eat anything that's just roasted. Whatever you eat should be cooked, and some have a minhag not to eat red meat at all, only chicken, and that chicken is somewhat immersed, preferably 50%. The Zeraya is also very often roasted, and some have a minhag that this Indian of not eating roasted meat by the Seder does not only apply at night, but even applies during the day. The Kaf HaChaim says we can't eat roasted meat during the day, again because it's similar to the Karban Pesach. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say you could eat roasted meat during the day. And a nafkamina is, when can you eat the Zeraya? Can you eat it the second day of Pesach after you no longer need it for the Seder? So according to the Kaf HaChaim, would be aser. According to the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, it would be mutter. Another discussion is liver. Since liver is roasted, it's tzli, many people have a minhag not to serve liver by the Seder. There's a machlokas, though. If you take liver and you cook it, does the cooking now after the roasting, is that acceptable or not? Some people hold it's mutter, and the Pri Chodesh actually is machmir on that. It is best to start the Seder as soon as possible after davening a Maariv, so that the children do not fall asleep during the Seder before the children get the opportunity to keep all of the mitzvahs of drinking the four kaises and of eating matzah and of course saying the manishtana. Therefore, it's important that the table is all set and ready so that when the men come home from shul, we can go straight into starting the Seder. Kiddush, though, should not be said until Tzei Sekhechavim. and we set up the table in the most beautiful fashion. Any beautiful dish that you have, we should put on the table, even though it's not relevant to the Seder. The point is simply that at the table should have a royal look, and so that it's derech cheiros, to show that we became b'nei melachim, we went me avdos l'cheiros. The chairs at the table should be arranged in a way that allows leaning comfortably to the left. Now, this means that if we're planning to have a lot of guests, we should not put the seats right next to each other. Because since in order to lean comfortably to the left, you really have to turn your chair on a 45 degree angle. And then if you do that with the back of the chair at a 45 degree angle on your left side, then when you lean to your left, you can kind of loop your arm over the back of the chair and you get support and it's a bit more comfortable. Left-handed people also lean to the left, and some women have a minhag to lean, but there's no chiyuv on women to lean. And the Reb Nissim Karelitz was actually asked, when are we supposed to lean? Are we supposed to lean only while we're actually swallowing, or the whole act of eating, of while we're putting the food in our mouth and chewing, or is it enough just when we're actually about to swallow, just to lean to our left side at that time? So he explained that Haseba is really to show derech cheiros, is to show that we're free people, we're people in control of our own destiny, and therefore, if we're just going to sit straight when we put the food in our mouth and chew, and only lean when we're actually swallowing, that would not be a normal way to act. That would not be a way of cheiros. Cheiros is where you're always kind of in a relaxed, settled mode. We're not rushed, not doing anything. And therefore, if you're moving up and down from one position to another position, that wouldn't be considered derech cheiros. He was also asked, is there an inyan that your head should also have something to rest on? Does it have to be, or should you just lean with your back against the chair and hold your head by itself? And he says that l'chatchila, you should have something to hold your head up as well. Lean your head, your body on the back of the chair or on the armrest, and your head on something else. But he says what's for sure is if you're going to hold your chair straight and just simply lean over towards your left and eat like that, that's definitely not derech cheiros. That's quite an uncomfortable way to eat, and therefore would not be acceptable. So just leaning to the left while eating would not fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore it's important that there's enough room at the table to tilt the chair to the left at a 45 degree angle. And in this way, everyone could be comfortable when they're leaning to the left. So this requires setting the table in a way where there's enough room between seats that each person could lean to the left, and of course that their feet also, which will probably extend a drop to the right while they're leaning to the left, there should be room for that as well. There's a minhag by the Seder that married men wear a kittel unless they're in avelus. That means 12 months for a parent or within 30 days for a sibling, a child, or a spouse. There are various minhagim as far as newly married men, whether they should wear a kittel during Shana Rishayna. Some do have the minhag, some do not have the minhag. And at halacha that's relevant to sometimes young couples that live near both of their parents is that they should not start the Seder by one parent and then walk over to the other one, because that would be a problem of not having Kiddush b'makom se'uda. The first kais, which is Kiddush, needs to be where you're going to actually eat the meal. And therefore, you have to start and finish the se'uda in the same location. Regarding karpas, in the days of the Mishnah, where a davar shatibule b'mashke, something which is normally dipped in liquid, requires that we wash our hands before it. And that's because when food gets wet, it's mekabel tuma. And since hands are considered tuma until they're washed, it would make the food tuma. So therefore, we have to wash our hands. Today, we are all considered tuma. Some say you don't have to wash it. And according to Taisvis, when you wash, we don't make a bracha of al netilas yadayim. And it's brought down that you wash your hands for karpas, but you don't make the bracha, you don't say al netilas yadayim. There's a famous joke where a person washed for karpas and he made the bracha asher kedushana b'mitzvayis of etzivanu, and he stopped. So they asked him, why did you stop? So he said, because the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't say al netilas yadayim. So I said everything asher kedushana b'mitzvayis of etzivanu, but I didn't say al netilas yadayim. But of course, the halacha is that you don't say the entire bracha. Yekis have a minhag that only the father washes, because they hold, like Taisvis, that really today you don't make a bracha on washing your hands, and it's only Zecher LeMikdash when there was Tumah V'Tahara, and it's good enough that one person at the Seder does it, meaning the head of the Seder, not everyone has to wash their hands. Regarding the mitzvah of Heseva, so we spoke about leaning comfortably to the left in a way that shows Cheiros, and we do this when drinking all Dalet Kaisais, and also when eating the matzah. If a man forgot to lean by anything beside the second kais, they do not have to re-drink that kais. The minhag is by the second kais, you drink it again without a bracha. The same thing with the kazayis matzah, that you would just eat it again without a bracha. And the reason is because it's a machlokas whether leaning to the left today is considered derech eres bechlal. Therefore, we don't generally require that you are not yoytze the mitzvah if you didn't lean to the left. Preferably, the Rama says, one should lean the entire meal to the left, the whole night. We should be feeling and showing and acting in a way that it's cheres, that we're free people, we're royalty. And that means reclining the entire meal. However, definitely, at least by the mitzvahs of the Dalet Kaisais and the Kazayis Matzah, we should do Haseba. In the Haggadah, it's best to complete saying the entire Haggadah and have the meal earlier so that the women can be, so that the children can be part of the mitzvahs and hear the sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if people want to be marech in Divrei Torah, the many Paiskim say the appropriate time to say Divrei Torah is during the Seuda, or after the Seder is over. But as long as there's still children by the Seder, it's best to make sure you cover what we're required to say, which is the story of the Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and to fulfill the mitzvahs. And later on, even if the children fall asleep, it's not a problem. So that's when you can add in all the extra Divrei Torah. The Paiskim bring down that the main purpose of the Haggadah is to read about the Nisim, V'Neflois, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in Mitzrayim. And therefore, a person has to understand and comprehend what we're saying in the Haggadah. So if one does not understand Hebrew, they should taka lechatchila say it in the language, say the Haggadah in the language that they do understand. So if a person only understands English, they should preferably read it in English. This is Paskin by the Rama. And there were Bali Taisvis in England whose wives and children didn't go to Beis Yaakov or didn't go to Yeshiva, and they said the entire Haggadah in English. And Nissen Kirelitz was asked regarding the Zman, the time of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he says, really, the whole night, immediately from the start of Yom Tov, you could fulfill the mitzvah, which means when the father and the sons are walking home from Shul, if they talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, they are already fulfilling the mitzvah. But in addition to that, there's a Hidr mitzvah that it should also be B'Shas, the Achila of Matzah. Regarding learning the halachas of Pesach, that is also a fulfillment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Shulchan Aruch says in Tav Pei Aleph Sif Beis, Chayav Adam Lasek B'Hilchas HaPesach U'B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, U'L'Saper B'Nisim V'Nefloi She'Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Aviseinu Ad She'Techtefenu Sheina. So he says clearly, you have to be Yosik in Hilchas HaPesach until you fall asleep. One of the Shilas which are discussed is when you have three generations at the same Seder. You have the grandparents, the parents, and the grandchildren. So the grandfather is probably going to be leading the Seder. How does the father fulfill his mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So Nissim Karelit says that Avad, the son, also has to be Misaper, and he should reach over to his son and say to him, by the way, Makas Dam was terrible, and the Mitzrayim couldn't drink anything, and the frogs were so loud, and that's enough. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says you really don't have to do that, because the very fact that you brought your children to hear your father talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, that is Be'etzem you telling them about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But he also says you should add in just a little bit, tell them something to make it exciting. A little bit about the Nisim, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Makos, that the father also has some aspect, some involvement in the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rav Karelitz was also asked, how are you supposed to say about Yetzias Mitzrayim? And his answer is something that should be focused on. A person should pause and really think about this. And he says, L'saper ba'ofen she'yargishu v'yispa'alu minisei Yetzias Mitzrayim u'mikol ha'makos. A person should say over Yetzias Mitzrayim in a way that we will feel and be inspired from the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and from the makos. U'la'ayra gamis ha'ketanim, and to awaken, arouse, and to inspire the kids. V'gamis ha'gedolim, and the adults. U'la'hashish b'hem. So part of talking about the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to instill in everyone Emuna and Ahavas Hashem. V'chol ha'pilpulim, he says, all of the pilpulim and the kashis and the terutzim and the haggadah, which are really not part of the sipur, ein mekayme yuzmani rak le'achar she'ochal v'shasa. Leave that for after the seuda, after Shulchan Aruch. But during the haggadah, you shouldn't be saying over the various pilpulim and chidushim and nice vertlach, which take away from the actual storyline of the nisim v'nefloys, because the idea is to be inspired, to be aroused, to feel emunah and avas Hashem. That comes from talking about the actual nisim. And Revelsky would say that this is really the hardest mitzvah on Pesach, is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the most important job of the one who leads the Seder is to make sure that anyone who's at his Seder feels that they're experiencing the excitement, the joy, and the relief of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That they feel a hakaras atoiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the chesed that he took us out of Mitzrayim. The Brisker Rav, we know, when he reached B'chol Dor V'dor, Chayav Adam Liris is Atzmai, Kilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim, he would get up and dance with his children to show and to feel, we have to feel, Ki'ilu Hu Atzmai Yatzam Mitzrayim, that we left Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim was a benefit for us, that we are inspired from it. Because this Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is passing on the Messiah. And this is the biggest challenge, says Rebelsky, to pass along that feeling and excitement that we have to everyone else, to the adults and to the children. That is some very, very a hard job. And in order to fulfill it properly, we really have to spend a lot of time preparing. Whoever's going to be leading a Seder, or any father, any husband, really has to spend time before Pesach preparing the Haggadah, preparing the Divrei Torah, so that they have what to give over in an inspirational way. Some buy special haggadahs that have dramatic pictures, which facilitates a discussion about the nisim, which is a wonderful thing. Another shaila that was asked by a bacher was that he wanted to make a play, and by the Seder, he wanted him and his siblings to act out the Shibud in Mitzrayim, and the Makos, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and chasing the Yidden. And his question was, if we do act it out, well, the mitzvah is really on our father to tell it. If we act it out, is that taking the mitzvah away from our father? And the second question that he asked was, if we act out beating up the Yidden in Mitzrayim, it's going to really have a negative effect. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein answered that if the father is a part of the skit, no problem at all. Then it's as if the father himself is telling the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And even if the father is only part of the skit, he's telling just part of the story, and the children are telling the rest, that's fine as well, because he's really empowering them. It's all bo mikaycha, it's coming from him. And he says that as far as acting out the bad scenes of the Shibud of Mitzrayim, he says you don't have to really worry about it, because since your intent is to show a mitzvah, showing a mitzvah is not going to be mashchis the nefesh. But the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Sipur, is to show the inspiration, to feel it, to act it out, and to feel that connection. This is, becomes a challenge for our children, for us, that our children bring home so many gematrias and Rosh Tevois and all kinds of beautiful Divrei Torah, but are not really part of the storyline of the Nisim v'Neflois that happened in Mitzrayim. In the Sefer Tuvchei Abihu, he says that the Pnei Penachem wrote a letter about his growing up in the home of his father, the Imri Nemes, the Gerer Rebbe. And he would say that the days before Pesach, especially Erev Pesach, the Imri Emes kept him nearby as much as possible, because the Gadita Levincha requires that your son, you tell your son, and that your son wants to listen. The son would want to accept it from you. The son would want to feel that connection to you. So he says he used to think that his father kept him close so he shouldn't bother his mother. But then he realized that what his father was trying to do was to bond with him, so that when it comes to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, he will be mekabel from him. And the idea is that we really have to nurture a relaxed environment where the children feel comfortable with their parents and they want to accept their thoughts, and the children want to add to the discussion as well. Now, this is a very lofty goal, because very often the men are busy, they're running out to shopping before Pesach and helping with the cleaning, and the children are the karbanos, are the karban Pesach, as they say. So sometimes the women, the mothers, have to take charge and make sure that the fathers do have a bonding experience before Pesach, that the fathers are spending time with the children, and that there's a relaxed feeling in the home, so that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim will be properly fulfilled. Rav Steinman was once asked, what is the proper way to instill in the children the inyan of the Lel HaSeder and the Geula? So he said a very simple thing. He says, there is no answer. The answer is only that the father himself has to himself appreciate the hasaga, the comprehension of the greatness of the nisim. He has to comprehend the mehus of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we went from Cheiros Olam, and we went to Kabbalas HaTorah, and we became the Am HaNivchar. And this, the father has to pass on to the family. That is the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the father himself is inspired. And the only way for the father to be inspired is if he spends time preparing, sitting down, looking at Sfarim, preparing Medrashim, preparing stories, to himself become excited about the Yetziyah from Avdus L'Cheiros, and then he could pass on the mitzvah to his son. Oh, so how, Taka, do we pass on this high level of the Roimimus, of the Hasaga, of the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to Sukkot, to Pesach? So he says it means you're starting 30 days before Pesach. The fathers have to be sitting and learning. If the father knows the halachas, he knows halacha lemaisa, what needs to be done regarding Pesach. He understands the minhagim, why we do this in this order. And when he's asked, he doesn't hem and ha, but he gives the answers right away in a clear, sharp fashion. This will give the feeling to everyone at the Seder that they're sitting at something which is exciting, something which is very meaningful. And this is true really by every Yom Tov. Like Chazal or Misakein, Shiu Shoyalin V'Dorshin Binyone Shel Chag Hilchus Pesach B'Pesach Hilchus Atzeres B'Atzeres. On and on. But by Pesach, where there's a mitzvah, if you got it to Levincha, it's even more of a chiyuv to make sure that we are properly prepared, so that we come to the Seder with Simcha, with Menuchas HaNefesh, and that we could share the excitement that we are Avdei Hashem v'lei Avdei Paroi with everyone sitting at the table. If Steinman Zatzal would speak about how, because of the oil that so many parents are under, the greatest time of year that children are neglected is Erev Pesach, because the mother is overworked, the father is also overworked, and they kind of have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to watch their children for them. But imagine if the children, because they have so much freedom, end up meeting a neighbor which is not the best person. Or if they end up seeing things which they wouldn't want them to see. So imagine the whole idea is v'igadeta levincha, to pass on the Maseret to our children. But if on Erev Pesach we let our children go in an unstructured matziv, and they become exposed to things, we've actually worked against v'igadeta levincha. We've definitely not fulfilled the mitzvah v'igadeta levincha, if we allow them to be free and to be vulnerable to various things and expect that when they come to the Seder, they're going to be mekabel from us the hasagas and ruchnias of becoming the Am HaNivchar. So, if Steinman would recommend that Ben Azmanim is a time for parents to spend time with their children, for fathers to spend time with his children. And when you walk, you share Divrei Torah, you talk about Neflois HaBoirei. And he says one of the ways is to get the kids out of the house so that the mother could work and could clean. And when out of the house, to make it into a Ruchnistic experience where you're connecting to the Neflois HaBoirei and talking about Nisim, the Neflois that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us, and use that as a way of preparing ultimately for Pesach. And of course, he says, preparing Divrei Torah for the Seder, that the Seder would be a beautiful matzav where everyone realizes that the father is excited, the father feels elevated, the father is so happy, the father feels Ashreinu Matev Chalkeinu, and that feeling will become catchy to the other people at the Seder. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein would tell over a story that he once met the father of one of the great Rashi HaYeshiva living today. And he asked him, how are you zeich to such a big child, such a great son? And he answered, it's not my zchus, it's the zchus of my wife, because my wife is Maisa Nefesh V'Torah. So you'd say, Maisa Shehoya, Kachoya. He said, we had a very, very tight budget, and I was never able to buy my wife clothing or shoes. So, one year, every week, I put away a few dollars, and I intended that Erev Pesach, my wife would buy a new pair of shoes. My wife saw Ben Azmanim, that my son, who today is a big Rosh Hashiva, started hanging out with friends, and the friends weren't the best tashbah on him in the neighborhood. So my wife turned to one of our young neighbors, a younger man, took all the money that I saved for all these weeks to buy her new shoes, and she gave it to him, and she said, please learn with my son so that he shouldn't be on the streets and get exposed to bad people. And in this chus of her Mesiras Nefesh, that is why we were zeiche, that to have a son like this, because my wife wouldn't allow that Ben Azmanim and Erev Pesach should be a time of Yerida for the children because they're so loose and lack of oversight. And if there's going to be a lack of oversight, it's Yatzas Chaya Behefseidai, because we're trying to dafka instill in our children the excitement of Yiddishkeit, but the lack of oversight can, Chas V'Shalom, have the reverse effect. In the Sefer Oitzer Place at Torah, on Amud Shin Chav, he says the Maisa with the Rambam and Rebbe Avraham. And Rebbe Avraham ben Rambam talks about how he was up the entire night with his father, the Rambam. And the Rambam was being Maitzi Rigshei Levavai. He was letting out, sharing with his son Rebbe Avraham the feelings in his heart that he is Margish Kolayse HaLayla, the excitement of being a Yid, that he felt the whole night, Ad Shehidek Aleim HaShachar, until the early morning. And he says it was Kelahavas Eish, it was like a flaming fire, Mitchila Vat Soifa, the excitement that the Rambam shared with Rebbe Avraham was like a flame, which was dancing from the evening till the morning. So Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam asked his father, he says, in the Yad HaChazaka, you have a very short nusach for the Haggadah. If we read your Haggadah, it'll only take 20 minutes, half an hour, so why do you stay up all night? So the Rambam told his son, what I wrote in the Sefer Yad HaChazaka is what you're mechuyev to say. But rig she levavi, but the excitement of my heart, the feelings of my heart, you can't pass that on to other people through a sefer. You can't pass it on to the Hamoinam and expect them to feel your excitement. But he says, I will call Echad Margish Balaila Hazak Kidei Tchunasai Bekedusha. Yes, we all say the same Haggadah, but we're not all saying the same Haggadah. Some of us are Nisragesh, some of us are feeling excitement. And that excitement keeps us up later at night. It keeps us exciting, keeps us singing Shir HaShirim after the Seder, saying Divrei Torah after the Seder, keeping the children up to talk about the Neflois HaBoirei. Yes, not everyone has to, and we could be Yotze D'Chiyuv and be finished the Seder by 11 o'clock with all of the mitzvahs L'chatchila L'mahadrin. But the Rigshei Levavoi, the excitement, that's something which we need to pass on to our children so that they too feel the Hergish, feel the excitement of being a Yid. One of the things that women juggle with is running the Shulchan Aruch, the Seder, while also trying to say the Haggadah. So, of course, the Chatzchila, the women should say the entire Haggadah, but sometimes when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, they have to spend time in the kitchen, or they have to spend time with a baby, or sometimes they have to put some of the children to sleep. So, the parts that a woman is allowed to skip is everything from Nirtza and on does not need to be said. Maisa b'Rebelazar does not need to be said. Kineged arba abonim as well does not need to be said. Yochol meirish chaydesh does not. Detzach adash be'achav does not need to be said. Dayenu also not. And the Eser Makos as well also not. But the following must be said. Manishtana. Avadim hayinu must be said. Metchila oivdei avodah zarah. Baruch hamakim baruch hu must be said, since it's like Berachas HaTorah on the mitzvah of Sipur. And Tseyu Lamad has to be said. Rabban Gamliel HaYoimer has to be said, because that's the answer to the Manishtana. For the mitzvah of the Dalet Kaisais, it's best to use a good quality red wine. If wine that's mevushel is a better quality than non-mevushel wine, then it's acceptable to use mevushel. One who cannot drink wine may use grape juice. So wine is definitely preferred. If not, you can use grape juice. If you can't stand grape juice, if you're allergic, or if someone is sensitive to the high sugar content, they can use chamar medina, which means coffee or tea. The cup, each kais has to hold a revias. Most shitas hold that a revias is 3.3 ounces, but b'dieved, 3 ounces would also be enough if it's difficult to drink 3.3 ounces. For example, if someone falls asleep from drinking wine, it's best just to use a kais of 3 ounces. However, if the Seder is Friday night, then the first kais is also being yaitz of the mitzvah of Kiddush. And in that case, since Kiddush is the deraisa, we take a more chamor dik opinion that a revias is 4.5 ounces. So whenever the first night of Pesach is on Shabbos, the first kais should be 4.5 ounces, and all the other kaises could be 3.3 ounces. In families where only the Baal HaSeder, the leader, the husband, or the father, makes the Kiddush, in that case it's enough that just he has 4.5 ounces. And everyone else would be able to have 3 ounces, but in those who have the minig where everyone says Kiddush for themselves, then everyone should have the 4.5 ounces for the first kais. When choosing which kais size to set your table with, it should be considered that you only need to have 3.3 ounces. Keep in mind, if people are going to be drinking wine, and sometimes people get giddy after drinking wine, or they get tired, then it's preferred that you use smaller kais size rather than use big kais size. Which, although big kaisers may be prettier, but as far as the halacha is concerned, it's preferred that people should be able to drink the whole kais, and therefore sometimes the smaller kais is a bigger hiddur. After drinking the kaisais, we're allowed to drink wine. So if someone drinks wine and it's difficult for them, they can have a little bit of water afterwards. If the water was on the table when making the bracha of Hagafen, you do not have to make a shehakol on the water. When drinking the kais ice, it's best to drink everything in the kais. If that's difficult, it's enough to drink rav kais. If that's also difficult, it's enough to drink rav vias, which is about 1.7 ounces. The drinking of the revias should be done in 2 gulps. If this is hard, then b'dieved, you have up to 4 minutes to complete the revias, but preferably it should be done just in, 2 gulps all the way down, and finish the revias. For the mitzvah of karpas, there's an hiddur to use green vegetables such as celery, although any ha'adama is okay. Some people have a minhag to use potatoes. There's a rav who used to use bananas to prove his shita that bananas are ha'adama and not ha'etz. But again, the inyan is a minhag, a hiddur to use only green vegetables. The Chasam Sefer quotes Rav Nassan Adler that he used to use only celery. Radishes, which some people have a minhag to use, that's a shaila, because some hold that raw radishes are actually shehakol, And not ha'adama, since most people don't eat them by themselves. It may depend on the various type of radish. But celery is definitely something which everyone is yaitze, l'kuli alma. Matzah, although normally we dip our bread in salt, but we do not dip the matzah in salt. One should eat for the mitzvah of matzah at least a kezias of handmade matzah. The matzah should be shmura matzah. If one cannot get shmura matzah, then they can use any matzah which was made l'shem mitzvah, that is kosher l'pesach. Now, since the first kezias is a chi of daraisa, we follow the stricter shear of a kezias, which according to Moshe Feinstein is 1.5 fluid ounces. Now, we have a machlikas between most shitas and Rav Benzion Abba Shaul. Rav Heinemann says, and most shitas hold this 1.5 fluid ounces is by displacement. Displacement of 1.5 fluid ounces. And therefore, you take matzah together with its air bubbles and you immerse it in water. And when the level rises to 1.5 fluid ounces, you're going to have enough matzah. That would be the shear of a kezias de'oraisa. And this is what Rav Heinemann quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein as saying. Rav Benzion Abba Shaul says that it goes by weight, 1.5 ounces of weight, which is much more than by displacement. So if someone can measure, that's wonderful. If you cannot measure, you can assume that 6 1/4 inches by 7 inches of a hand matzah, that is a kezias. Or to make it simple, 1/3 of a hand matzah is a kezias de'araisa. If one is not sure how much this is, then it's really enough to break a matzah into smaller pieces and then fill one's mouth, leaving only room to chew. And once you put matzah in your mouth and you chew it as you put it in, and you no longer have any room to put in more, that is for sure a kezias. However, although the chiyuv is to eat one kezias, there's a minhag to eat two kezaisim in the beginning, and the second kezias, though, is only a minhag. So therefore, you don't need to have the large kezias of 1/3 of a matzah. It's enough to have a smaller kezias of 1/4 of a matzah, or even less. So Rav Heinemann would say that technically, if you used 1/3 of a hand matzah, that really would be 2 kezaisim, according to the most lenient opinion as to the size of a kezias, and therefore you can really use 1/3 of a matzah and be yaitze having 2 kezaisim as well. Some have the minhag that only the Rosh HaSeder, the one leading the Seder, should have 2 kezaisim, and everyone else has 1 kezaias. Therefore, since the first kezaias is a daraisa, you do 1/3 of a matzah, but kairech, which is a derabanan, there you only need 1/4 of a hand matzah to fulfill the mitzvah of kairech, so you would break 1/4 of a matzah in half, put an eighth of the matzah on top, and an eighth on the matzah on the bottom of the maror, and that way you would have your sandwich. So, it turns out that we have 2 kezaisim in the beginning, 1 kezaias, which is 1/4 of a matzah for kairech, and then again for afikoymen, we have 2 kezaisim, and again, we would do at least 1/3 of a matzah, and that can be counted as 2 kezaisim as well. Rav Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, during his last years, couldn't eat gluten, and he wouldn't wash on bread year-round. And so on Pesach, he would only eat 1 kezias of matzah. And the first night, he would eat a shir d'araisa, which would be 1/3 of a hand matzah. And the second night, which is only the Rabbanan, he would eat 1/4 of a matzah. Because the second night of Pesach, it's only a mitzvah, the Rabbanan. And this is also the hachra that the Magen Avraham has. So when people are only having 1 kezias due to chayli, if someone is sensitive to gluten and they can only eat 1 kezias, then what they often will do is have the last kezias of the afikoman. That would be the mitzvah of kezias. So therefore, in this case, they would actually make a bracha on the maror first, before the seuda, and then eat the seuda, make a bar nefashais, and then wash and eat the afikoman with making the bracha of al achilas matzah, and that's what, in order that they should be able to go to sleep with the taste of the afikoyim and the taste of the mitzvah of matzah in their mouth. Now, when looking at the matzahs, you may notice something called a matzah kefula. A matzah kefula is when there's a fold in the matzah in which the dough is completely folded over. So that part where the dough is folded over and the perimeter immediately around it should not be eaten and should be disposed of because we're concerned that it did not bake well inside. But if it's not folded but there is a crease, it should be separated and not eaten, but you don't have to dispose of it. There's something else called a matzah nefucha, and that's if you have a big bubble in a matzah. So also, the minhag is you break off the bubble because we're afraid that maybe inside the bubble it's not baked well. So if the bubble, though, is big enough to hold a hazelnut in it, and the outer crust of that bubble is very brittle, then it's fine. But if it's smaller than that, you should break it off and put it aside. With maror, the amount eaten for the first mitzvah of maror at the beginning is a kezayis de'araisa, which, as we said earlier, was 1.5 fluid ounces. So if you have a measuring cup, you simply take the maror, which is ground, put it into the measuring cup, some 2-ounce shot glasses, you know, you fill up 3/4 of the way of a 2-ounce shot glass or 1.5 1-ounce shot glasses of ground maror, that would be enough. If you're eating romaine lettuce, a kezayis of just the leaves would be 8 inches by 10 inches. And if you're eating the stalks, then simply an area covered by stalks of 3 by 5 inches would be a kezayis. Chasa is one of the 5 types of items that are on the list of maror, which we consider that to be romaine lettuce. And we use it for maror. Romaine lettuce is used even though it's not bitter. And the question many people ask is, well, what's wrong with romaine lettuce? It's actually quite tasty. Why is that maror? And the answer is because if you would not harvest it so early and you'd leave it in the ground a little bit longer, it would become bitter. So that's why it becomes maror. So the Chazaynish is actually makbid that you can only use romaine lettuce that was left longer in the ground where it becomes bitter. He was actually makbid not to use horseradish. Dafka not to use horseradish. And he says it's not one of the things listed in the Mishnah as one of the 5 types of things that you yotze maror with. Plus you would say it's a sharp taste, not a bitter taste. So there are people in Bnei Brak who are makbid dafka to eat romaine lettuce, which turns bitter, and not to use horseradish. These shiurim that we just mentioned, you know, when you're sitting down and you're measuring it out for everyone at your Seder, it can sometimes become cumbersome. So one of the recommendations is to prepare it before. On Erev Pesach, you sit down with some Ziploc bags and you break off a third of a matzah and stack it in different bags. And that way, by the Seder, you simply hand the bag to everyone because the kezayis is already pre-measured for them. And the same thing with the maror. Of course, the romaine lettuce, you need to make sure that there's no bugs on the romaine lettuce. There's a shaila regarding use romaine lettuce that's grown hydroponically in hothouses. And the question is, since it doesn't grow from the ground, what bracha do you make on this lettuce? Do you make a hardama or do you make a shehakol? And there's various shitas about it. There is a famous chayi adam that says that grain that grows hydroponically, you could make a mezonos on it, but you can't say hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, because it didn't grow from the ground. But there's also a Siddur Minchas Yerushalayim that says for gidulei mayim, you should make a bracha of shehakol, and not bari pri ha'adama. So if you have a potato, for example, that grows hydroponically, you can't say bari pri ha'adama because it didn't grow from the ground. So rather you say shehakol niyabidvari. But if that's the case, you would not be able to use romaine lettuce that grew hydroponically as maror. And that's also the psak of Rav Binyamin Yeshua Zilber, that he says the Chazaynish also paskin that way. And therefore, people tend to try to avoid using hydroponically grown romaine lettuce for maror. For the mitzvah of kairich, we make a sandwich with the matzah and the maror, and therefore we use a more lenient kezayis, which is 1.1 fluid ounces, or a 4 inch by 7 inch piece of matzah, or a quarter of a hand matzah. Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a share that even a sixth of a hand matzah, so if someone's a chayla, we could be more lenient, even a sixth, but other than that, a person should try to have at least a quarter. For the mitzvah of afikomen, although it's a machlekes, we pask an afikomen as midrabanan, so you can use the smaller share of a kezias, which is 1.1 fluid ounces. Again, there is a chumra to use the deraisa dika share, and everyone can keep their minhag. Regarding the afikomen, we all know there's a minhag to steal the afikomen so that the children will not fall asleep. This is based on the Gemara that says, Rabbi Eliezer says, chaytfines ha-matzais. You grab the matzais so that the children won't fall asleep. And the Rashbam says that, the Rambam says that Rabbi Eliezer is referring to the minhag of stealing the afikomen so that the children should stay awake. In the Haggadah, Eitzer Divrei HaMeforshim, he brings several other reasons for the minhag of stealing the afikomen. According to the Makor Chayim, which is the Chavis Yo'ir, he says the reason is at chavivos ha-mitzvah. It's to show the chavivos of the mitzvah of the afikomen. But Reb Menashe Klein brings down a medrash, and he says the makar for afikomen is a medrash pliya, that it says Yitzchak told Esav, bo achicha b'mirma, vayikach es bircha secha. He took your bracha. When Yaakov came dressed up and he tricked Yitzchak into giving him the bracha, so Yitzchak told Esav when he came in, bo achicha b'mirma, your brother came with trickery, vayikach es bircha secha, says the medrash pliya, and vayikach es ha'afikomen, and he took out the afikomen. So it turns out, according to the medrash, the story of the brachos of Yitzchak to Yaakov happened on Pesach b'Elul HaSeder, and therefore the minhag to steal the afikomen is, so to speak, to get You steal the afikomen so that you get the brachos, get the presents from the father, which is, so to speak, reenacting that the brachos of Yitzchak Avinu should go to Yaakov, to the Bnei Yisrael. There are those who scream very hard, very loud against the minhag of stealing the afikomen. They say stealing the afikomen is a goyish ezach. There are some sfarim that go so far as to say that you should not steal the afikomen. It's a minhag bodoy vehevel. It says the goyim here that the Jews teach their kids to steal by stealing the afikomen, and they do it like a zecher to vayinatzu es Mitzrayim, since when we left Mitzrayim, we emptied them out from all of their money. So we're training our children every year to empty out the goyim from their money. So therefore, some sfarim say you shouldn't do it. However, actually, Rav Eliashiv also did not allow them to steal the afikomen, and the Stipler as well did not like the minhag of stealing the afikomen. But of course, most people did have the minhag, and the Maram Chalove, and of course, many other Rishonim, the Rashbam, talk about the minhag. Some say we talk about it finding the afikomen. You shouldn't say you're stealing it. But, of course, everyone should keep them and hug him, but just be sensitive to the concerns that are raised. After eating the afikomen, we don't eat anything else, so at the time of the matzah stays in our mouth. However, you could drink water, and the Mishnah Berurah says that you can also drink wine. Usually, when we make the bracha of hagefen, we say it before a mitzvah. For example, by Kiddush, we say hagefen first. Before a wedding, we say, before Erisin v'Nesuin, we say Bar Pi Agafen. Birchas HaMazon, we say it afterwards. And the reason is because Tosfos says, benching shows Hesach Hadas. So therefore, if we would make the bracha beforehand, we'd have Hesach Hadas from the Bar Pi Agafen from before the benching, and therefore we wouldn't be able to drink it anymore. The Magen Avraham writes that many of the piyutim at the end of the Haggadah and said before the Kaiser V are really somewhat of a hefsek, perhaps. And even by benching, he says that there's a machloikas whether the harachamans are hefsek, since they're a minik haga'inim. But we follow the tour that says it's considered part of benching, and the same thing, it's an extension of benching. Also, same thing with the harachamans after a bris mila, the berchas hamazon of a bris mila, it's considered an extension of benching. But what there is to be sensitive to this is that even though we do have we're saying a lot of things which seem to be a hefsek, but yet we shouldn't be doing other things before we make the hagafen. L'chatchila, one should finish eating the afikomen before chatzayis. There are various minhagim. Some people make a tanai. Some people just don't have a minig at all to finish it by chatzayis. Everyone should hold the minhagim of their family. On Pesach, if hot or cold food falls on the chair or on the smooth floor after they were properly cleaned, me'ikar hadin, they could be eaten. However, most people have a minhag to throw at any food that falls on the floor. If a Ben Eretz Yisrael comes to America, he should keep as much as possible the minhagim of the makim. But Rebelsky says he does not have to eat the whole Seder. You do not have to drink the Dalat Kaisais or eat matzah. But it is nice if they sit at the table. However, malacha they should not do. And they should be dressed in Bigda Yamtif and they should come to shul. But tefillin they should put on Bitzina. Rebelsky held it's mutter to have a separate minion for Bnei Eretz Yisrael since only malacha is asr. Because it's assumed malacha is b'far hesia. And just like in Eretz Yisrael, we find that the chutznik can make their own minion. There's no problem with Bnei Eretz Yisrael make their own minion in America. On Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. That means there's a constant mitzvah to be happy on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. And we have to take specific steps to feel happy, to make our spouses happy, and to make our children happy. This mitzvah is both by day and night of Yom Tov. So the possibilities include men could drink or eat things that make them happy. If one enjoys wine, they could drink 4.5 ounces of wine during the Seuda and consume it within 2 gulps, or if needed up to 4 minutes. If a person enjoys meat, they should eat meat. Women could have new jewelry or new clothing, and children could have new toys to play with. In addition, there's a mitzvah to give kimcha de pischa, which is to gladden the hearts of the almanais, the yesaimim, of the aniyim, and therefore people should reach out to the local rabbanim or local temple Shabbos and make sure they give some money towards the aniyim. On Chol HaMoed, the purpose of Chol HaMoed is that it should be a time designated for avodas Hashem and limud haTorah. Chol HaMoed has a din of Yom Tov. In that, we're supposed to dress in big day Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed. We should not dress the way we normally dress during the week. We're supposed to have a seuda, preferably with lechem, both by night and by day. We cannot take a haircut. We're not supposed to take off any body hair. And one should not cut their fingernails on Yom Tov if they didn't cut it before Yom Tov. However, if one did cut them before Yom Tov and they grew again and they're interfering and they're annoying, then you are allowed to cut them on Chol HaMoed.